Francisco shook his head slowly and did not answer. Then he asked, "To which one of your friends in the copper industry are you going to give the valuable privilege of informing on you this time?" Reardon smiled. "Not this time. This time I'm dealing with a man I can trust."
"Really? Who is it?"
"You." Francisco sat up straight.
"What?"
he asked, his voice so low that he almost succeeded in hiding the sound of a gasp. Reardon was smiling. "You didn't know that I'm one of your customers now? It was done through a couple of stooges and under a phony name, but I'll need your help to prevent anyone on your staff from becoming inquisitive about it. I need that copper. I need it on time. And I don't care if they arrest me later, so long as I get this through. I know that you've lost all concern for your company, your wealth, your work, because you don't care to deal with looters like Taggart and Boyle. But if you meant all the things you taught me, if I am the last man left whom you respect, you'll help me to survive and to beat them. I've never asked for anyone's help. I'm asking for yours. I need you. I trust you. You've always professed your admiration for me. Well, there's my life in your hands, if you want it. An order of Danconia copper is being shipped to me right now. It left San Juan on December 5th.
What?
It was a scream of plain shock. Francisco had shot to his feet past any attempt to hide anything.
On December 5th?
Yes, said Reardon, stupefied. Francisco leaped to the telephone.
I told you not to deal with Danconia copper.
It was the half-moaning, half-furious cry of despair. His hand was reaching for the telephone, but jerked back. He grasped the edge of the table as if to stop himself from lifting the receiver, and he stood head down. For how long a time, neither he nor Reardon could tell. Reardon was held numb by the fact of watching an agonized struggle with the motionless figure of a man as its only evidence. He could not guess the nature of the struggle. He knew only that there was something which Francisco had the power to prevent in that moment, and that it was a power which he would not use. When Francisco raised his head, Reardon saw a face drawn by so great a suffering that its lines were almost an audible cry of pain, the more terrible because the face had a look of firmness, as if the decision had been made, and this was the price of it.
Francisco, what's the matter?
Hank. He shook his head, stopped, then stood up straight.
Mr. Reardon,
he said, in a voice that had the strength, the despair, and the peculiar dignity of a plea he knew to be hopeless. For the time when you're going to damn me, when you're going to doubt every word I said, I swear to you, by the woman I love, that I am your friend. The memory of Francisco's face, as it looked in that moment, came back to Reardon 3 days later, through a blinding shock of loss and hatred. It came back even though, standing by the radio in his office, he thought that he must now keep away from the Wayne Falkland, or he would kill Francisco Danconia on sight. It kept coming back to him through the words he was hearing. He was hearing that 3 ships of Danconia copper bound from San Juan to New York had been attacked by Ragnar Danishold and sent to the bottom of the ocean. It kept coming back, even though he knew that much more than the copper had gone down for him with those ships.